When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Phillies Backstage. I'm Tom Burgoyne, joined by John Brazier. And, John, I want you to ask me right now, what are you wearing? Who are you wearing?
Who am I wearing?
No, you ask me.
Tom, who are you wearing?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm wearing Peter Millar.
our guest is looking at us like, what?
This is up. From our last podcast, Garrett.
Garrett Stubbs, first of all.
Garrett Stubbs
to introduce
in the
who
house.
Our guest is.
Our boy. He was wearing this really preppy kind of vest. And I asked him about it, and he's like, it's Peter Millar. And meanwhile, he got it for free. And I got this shirt for free. Our boy Scott Palmer, of course, has us playing in a golf outing every year, and we get the free Peter Millar shirts.
Well, I'm wearing a Peter Millar shirt, and I did not get this one free.
You paid for
that? I actually paid for this one, yeah.
You paid for that shirt?
Sounds like I need a Peter Millar shirt.
they're really comfortable, Garrett. I will say that. It's a really good golf shirt.
Yeah. Love it.
So how you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
Thanks for joining us. I know you have a game tonight, but it's great to have you. And I guess first question is just how you liking Philly and being with the club?
I love it. The locker room is awesome. The guys in there, very welcoming as soon as I got here. And we're winning. Winning baseball is always fun, no matter where you're at. So
now you were in the Houston organization. What did you know about Philly? And you're from California. What did you know about Philadelphia? Had you been here before you even?
I knew absolutely nothing.
Nice.
Yeah, being on the West Coast, you obviously watch every single team play. I was a Padres fan growing up, so we played the Phillies. But it was an East Coast team, so it's not like we were focused as much on the East Coast. And now coming from the AL West, we never played the Phillies. And then I had never visited Philly as a tourist or anything like that. So I'd been in New York. I'd been in the Northeast a few times, but not Philly. And I got to say, my time here so far has been awesome.
Well, what had you heard, though, about, because I think we're both from Philadelphia. And you always hear, and we're very curious to see what, players when they come in, whether they're opposing or with, new team, the reputation of the East Coast fan, whether it's New York, Boston, Philadelphia, the fans can be very intense. We like to say passionate, right? So what was your impression of the fans?
Yeah, I mean, coming in, everyone talks about the fans being very hard on their players, and not just of the Phillies, you got the Eagles. And so that dynamic I didn't really know about other than word of mouth. Obviously, coming here, we had a slow start and the fans were not happy. Right. We would go up to the plate and fans were not enjoying coming to baseball games. And quite frankly, we weren't enjoying losing the baseball games. And that's the thing, the relationship between player and fan, when we're losing, we're not having fun either. And so, on top of it, to hear boos and whatnot, it kind of reiterates the fact that we are losing. And so, now that we're winning, fully expect fans to be enjoying the winning part of it too. I think it can go both ways. So it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun so far, and the fans have been great. And now that we're starting to get on this little bit of a roll, and our expectation is to win more ball games.
Yeah, and how about the city itself? Are you rooming with anybody? Have you been able to get out and about a little bit?
Yeah, I'm not rooming with anyone. I live over near University City. One thing I've found out about Philly is there's no parking anywhere.
or there's parking in the middle of the street.
I was driving my first day here, and I'm like, why are there cars in the median?
Right.
And so I got myself a bike, and so in the mornings I'll roam around. And
not the electric bike.
I have an electric bike.
Oh, you do have an electric bike. All right.
It's awesome. And I do wear a helmet.
Okay.
But I ride around in the mornings. I go to breakfast. And that's kind of my morning routine. And it's been really nice. And it's been a good way to be able to kind of roam around the city. I've gone over to the other side on where Washington Square is and riding back down Walnut towards Rittenhouse Square and kind of just try to check out as many things as I can.
So you probably didn't know this, but Philadelphia has become, literally in the last 10, 15 years, a huge restaurant scene. I mean, like one of the best. People used to go from Philadelphia to New York to eat, and now it's the opposite. People are going from New York to Philadelphia for all their, you know, restaurants. Have you found like your favorite breakfast, lunch, dinner spot?
Yeah, so my favorite breakfast spot, and it's not, I guess it's not really a breakfast spot, but it's a bake shop, and they have breakfast sandwiches and other bakery items, and it's called Bake Shop on 20th. It's awesome. And I go there most mornings. I've been to Green Eggs Cafe, mm-hmm. which seems to be yep. a very popular one. Bluestone Lane, which I know is a chain, but they have a good one right there by Rittenhouse. And then dinner-wise, it's tough for us.
Yeah, because you guys are playing.
Yeah, if it's a day game, we might get a chance to go to dinner depending on how long the game is. A lot of times you're tired and it's not really on the forefront of your brain to go to dinner. But I've been to Barclay Prime, which was incredible.
Very good one.
I went to Ranstead Room for drinks.
Yep.
And Speakeasy. That was very cool.
Very dark.
I was a little suspect as I was walking up towards the red light of the building, not knowing what I was about to walk into. And then you get inside and it's a really nice bar. So,
well, if you can see the bar.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
I'm going to set you up too, because one of the top restaurants actually won the James Beard Award for best restaurant in the country is Zahav. It's Mediterranean, okay. Israeli food. Absolutely. It's my wife and I, we absolutely love it.
I've never been.
Okay. You haven't been?
No, but I've heard about it for years.
Yeah, Gabe Kapler used to love it. I set up so I'm going to set you up down there when you have a free night dinner. Zahav. Zahav.
Okay, Zahav. Awesome.
Really good.
Okay.
Well, Garrett, you're really, getting to, experience the Philly thing. And you've also experienced the Philly thing by going down to the shore last weekend. And so what were your impressions of Wildwood, New Jersey?
Yeah, you hear things about the Jersey Shore, and I'm putting that in quotations.
Yeah, Snooki's not right down there.
And you think that it's going to be this MTV version of Jersey Shore, and it's one of the it's one of the most beautiful places I've been. The beach town there, Avalon. Awesome. I had a great time. We were riding bikes around the town, and it kind of gives me a vibe of where I'm from on the West Coast.
I was going to say, you're from San Diego.
Exactly.
Which is
so I love
best
that.
Beach
That's
town
kind
in
of exactly the kind of thing that I'm used to and that I enjoy. So being able to ride around there and check out the bay and the beaches. One of the better places I've been to.
Yeah, and I know some pictures surfaced of you guys playing wiffle ball on the beach. How'd that come about?
The family that we were hanging out with is Mickey's family, and they have a boat, and we went to, I believe it's called Low Tide Island, and they kind of play wiffle ball there. It's one of the things that their family likes to do on the 4th, and so we were playing wiffle ball, just hanging out with some of their family's kids, and then there were other kids, of course, there, and decided to join the game, of which they had no idea who they were playing with.
Yeah, that's cool.
They didn't know it at all.
Not at all.
Did they ever find out?
They did eventually, because either one of them noticed, or somebody, I think one of the dads said, "You just tagged out Alec Bohm." And the kid looked at Alec and had kind of a strange look on his face,
funny.
Like, "There's no way." And he kept saying, there's no way. I just tagged out Alec Bohm. And he ended up leaving the game for a second because he had to go check to see if it was Alec Bohm. And he comes back and realizes that he's playing.
And I'm sorry, how old were these kids?
Probably 10, 12 years
old. Right.
Yeah.
So that's right in the height of
And were you guys, wiffle ball is kind of a crazy thing. I mean, were you guys like jacking balls all over the place? These guys know how to play? Or wiffle ball, you also can swing and miss a lot.
Yeah, we were playing opposite handed.
Okay.
So we were all hitting from the other side. And so, I mean, we were having fun. It was it's a fun game.
You know, when I play wiffle ball, for some reason, I can't go two-handed. I have to go one-handed.
Really?
I feel like I don't
like golf.
I know, but I feel like I don't have control when I have two hands of wiffle ball. It's
very light bat.
Yeah, so
and
I always,
even if you hit the ball square, sometimes it just seems to just clip it. And
yeah. All right, let's go back in time. Now, in high school, you went to Torrey Pines High School, and you also, your brother is, what, a year or two younger than you?
He's actually 4 years younger than me.
4 years younger. Yeah. Okay, so you never played really together on the same team. But I always ask this question when we have former players or current players. Your senior year, you batted .391, 27 runs scored, 13 doubles. When did you know? Did you know at that point that maybe you have a career going forward, or wasn't until maybe you went to USC and had success there? When did you know at what age were you when you realized that, man, I could maybe make a living doing this?
I'm still trying to figure it out. I think that I constantly am reminding myself that, could be your last day of playing. So In high school, you know, I was just trying to get to college, and I had a good senior year and was able to get a scholarship to USC. And I didn't really get recruited all that much. I'm not a very big person, but USC believed in me. I got to go there, and it was my dream school on that. On top of that. Then when I was at USC, I played quite a bit.
From the beginning, like freshman year?
Yeah, from the beginning, I played the first weekend at USC. I played center field on Friday. I played third base on Saturday, and then I caught the Sunday game. So I was all around the field and just trying to find a place in the lineup. My senior year was probably my best of my 4 years there. Had some accolades and
Johnny Bench.
Yeah.
Right. Best catcher in the nation.
Yeah. And so I think at that moment was kind of my first thought of like, you know, maybe I'm good enough to at least play professional baseball. And so then I went into pro ball.
Hold on, but back up a little bit. So after your junior year, you could have been drafted and you told everyone, you made it known that you're going to go back for your senior year.
Yeah.
And that had been kind of a tough decision right there, right?
Certainly, yeah. But for the same reason that I just didn't know I was going to be able to play in the big leagues, it's really a hard thing to do. I always went to USC wanting to get my degree and know that whatever path I take with baseball, I'll always be able to fall back on that degree. And go off into pro ball with my degree in hand was a lot more comforting feeling than going my junior year and always having in the back of my head, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to need to go back to school.
And it paid off, obviously. You won the Johnny Bench Award and your eighth round draft pick.
Yeah, it ended up being a really good decision. And I'm happy for
it. Yeah, and you got drafted on your birthday.
Yeah, exactly.
John and I always talk about when we have players in and we talk to guys.
Wait, hold on. Did you get drafted on your birthday or your major league debut?
I got debuted on my birthday, yeah.
Yeah, debut was on his birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The draft would have been probably June. Yeah, at that time. Now it's in July, I think. Yeah. But
all right. How was draft day to be drafted? I guess by the same team who drafted your brother too, the Astros.
Yeah. So I mean, getting drafted, I really didn't know where I was. I was a senior. I did want a little bit of money so that I could, you know, live comfortably. It's not a very comfortable life there in the minor leagues. And the Astros actually had called me the year before my junior year. And I obviously had told them that I was going to go back to school. And then they called me again after my senior year and ended up getting drafted by them. Tim Kostick was the scout that drafted me, along with Mike Elias, who was the scouting director at the time, who's now the GM of the Orioles. So pretty amazing day. And then to have it happen 4 years later to my brother, too, was pretty awesome.
Yeah, and then so you go through, you had accolades going through the minor leagues. It looked like you had success kind of everywhere you went. And then, as we had alluded to, that you made your debut on your birthday.
Yeah.
So talk about that.
Yeah, so we're in Nashville, Tennessee, which is maybe why it's probably my favorite minor league ballpark to play at. A little bit of nostalgia there. But got taken out of the game because an injury had happened during the game with Houston. Get taken out in the fifth inning. Manager tells me that I'm going to get my first call up to the big leagues, and I'm sitting there in the dugout. Can't wait to call my family. Got to wait for the game to get over. End up trying to call my family. No answer. Call my family again. No answer. Finally, they call back. They had just gotten off a plane, or actually they had just landed from watching my brother play, and they're on the plane, and I tell them, hey, I just got my first major league call-up. And, of course, they go absolutely bonkers on a plane full of, you know, 75, however many people. That was a cool story for all of us. And on top of that, being my birthday, I don't think it gets much better than that.
Awesome.
And you also played in the World Series last year, right?
Yeah.
Game 6?
Yep.
So is that, you know, that's obviously, you know, the pinnacle of anyone's career, right, is a play in the World Series. Was that nerve-wracking? Was that more, do you have your adrenaline rushing? What was
I certainly get nervous at times, but it's more of an adrenaline rush kind of nerves. And so in that moment, I really, in those kinds of situations, just really try to enjoy whatever that kind of platform or experience that I'm about to have. So I remember walking out, and it was in the ninth inning, and I actually looked up to my family. I didn't wave or anything, but I just kind of looked up to them just because I was about to play my first innings out in a World Series baseball game, which, you know, I think some of the best players that have ever played the game didn't get a chance to do that. So to be able to have that opportunity, you know, I was very fortunate to be with those, with the Astros for those years and have, some winning ball clubs. So playing in the World Series, I mean, I'll take that home with me, for the rest of my life.
Yeah. And not many guys on our team, current team have played in a World Series. So, yeah, to bring that experience here is great. And then coming here too, Garrett, I know, obviously you're a catcher, but, you've played the outfield a little bit. Are there any other positions you feel comfortable playing?
Yeah. Second base, I always have taken grounder. I've never gotten into a game at the major league level, but in the minor leagues, I had played second base, for a few games there in AAA last year. But yeah, I feel comfortable at second base. I'll find a way to feel comfortable wherever you put me, including the mound. I just try to find ways to help the team get in the lineup, whatever that may be for whatever particular day. I'm up for it. So,
all right. And then the team goes to San Diego, and, you think your parents are going to be up in the stands. Talk about, the baseball. You wrote something on a baseball, that we're going to give to your parents.
Yeah, so I've had season tickets, my family and I, my grandparents, in Toyota Terrace, the second level in San Diego. And so before the first game in San Diego, I got a baseball and I wrote on it, "Hey, Mom and Dad, we made it." And I signed it. And I threw it up to right where our seats were, hoping that they would find it. Come to find out, the grounds crew had told me that basically seconds after I had thrown the ball up to that level, the cleaning crew came by to prep the game and had swept the ball up.
Can you imagine?
So it's in a trash can.
That baseball is in a trash can, or maybe the cleaning crew kept it. I don't know. But it did not get to my parents, but I told them that I had thrown it up there. So the thought,
it's,
I guess,
the sentiment
is,
that counts.
Exactly.
Right.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
All right, we got to bring up too, Tom. First of all, your first major league home run, you have a flair for the dramatic. Your first major league home run was against the guy who's leading, I think, the National League in wins right now, right? Tony Gonsolin. Gonsolin.
Yeah, he's a really good pitcher. And it was a really close ball game. I think it was, at the time, we might have been losing 2-0. And so that was the first run of the game to make it 2-1. So kind of a momentum push there.
Did you get that ball back?
I did get that ball back, yeah. Good. A kid came up and traded him a bat for it.
Nice.
Easy trade right
exactly.
there, right?
He was nice. And it's always good when fans are, you know, appreciative of just the exchange. It makes it a lot better for us. And we're happy to, you know, go out there and, you know, get one of those momentum or moment balls back and be able to have a little
absolutely
with fans.
And then it was how much? It was June 15th.
We got to get it. Let's break that down a little bit because, you know, obviously we're fans. We're both working, but we're fans. And we were down going the ninth inning, two outs.
Yeah, it was a 3-1 ball game because we ended up winning 4-3.
Yes, 3-1.
And it was, yeah, 3-run home.
So, but you're up to bat. You're facing, it's 2 strikes on you.
Yeah.
2 outs, right? We're down by...
It's an afternoon game, too, which is always nice.
Two.
I love
down
the afternoon
two,
games.
And you come
getaway
up.
Day.
Getaway day.
Getaway
right?
day. That's huge.
Yeah.
And just, I'm telling you, man, I think every fan, when you hit that ball, and you didn't just hit that ball, you crushed that ball. Yeah. So it was a no-doubter from our perspective. Hopefully it was probably a no-doubter from your perspective, too.
Yeah.
But we were all like, I just remember my wife and I are high-fiving, everybody's high-fiving.
Yeah.
I mean, you might tell, what was going through your head when you hit that?
Yeah, incredible moment. Awesome to be in that situation and have a chance to, you know, put us in the lead or at least get Schwarber to the plate. I promise you, I was not trying to hit a home run in that situation. It was left on left. Tanner Scott, you know, throwing upper 90s with a slider. And like I said, I was trying to get Schwarber to the plate. That's the guy that's supposed to hit the home run to win us the game. I end up getting down to two strikes, so I'm just up there battling. I end up taking a slider just off the plate away. Felt really good about it. At a certain point, I think he's going to throw me a heater. He doesn't. Ends up throwing a slider in the heart of the plate, and I was able to put a good swing on it and win us a game.
Yeah.
The reaction was
Garrett,
just,
you know.
So when you see that
so
pitch,
like,
just because take two non-baseball people. So when you see the pitch, you're thinking kind of slider, right? And it's coming to that perfect spot, right? So in your brain saying, holy moly, I got something I can.
Yeah.
Right?
Those things don't like consciously happen in your head. It's so fast.
Fast, right.
But the actual just, I'm up there battling for my life,
right,
basically, is what I'm thinking in my head to try to get Schwarbs to the plate, especially now that I'm down to two strikes. And, you know, those reactions basically just happen in the moment. And so I saw it well, was able to put that swing on it, trying to hit a line drive, hit it a little higher, a little harder, and it goes out.
And then you're saying your reaction, you know, you kind of spike the bat. And I love that one shot from the low third camera because it shows your teammates' reaction jumping out of the dugout.
That is my favorite as well because their reaction in the dugout was basically my reaction on the field. It just so happened that the cameras are obviously pointed towards the guy hitting. The reaction is just a genuine feeling of adrenaline, excitement, knowing that we just won a big ball. Miami Marlins are a very good baseball team. And so to be able to win a series and go to Washington afterwards on a win like that, that reaction was just basically the relief of a win. Obviously, big moment down to the last strike. And I've never watched one of my home runs. I haven't hit very many in my life, period. But I haven't ever watched one like that.
You look like Barry Bonds up there, actually.
What did same guy, same guy.
And what did you yell into the dugout at that point?
I think I just screamed. Yeah. You know, that kind of blackout moment.
Yeah.
Just
primal scream.
Pure adrenaline and excitement and looking at the boys hopping over the fence.
Yeah.
I ended up watching the video back and seeing Schwarber as soon as I hit it. I think he tosses his bat, tosses his helmet, and just throws his hands up while he's on deck.
It's just the most euphoric thing, right? And you're the one who did it, but like everyone's euphoric. Everyone's like,
and against the Marlins. I mean, they are good. They've actually, you know, they've had our number over the years a little bit, and Philadelphia fans know that. And I think that was even, you know, part of the exuberance too for the fans. Like, oh, it's good. And it happened against the Marlins. We finally got one over on them, you know. But
and then you got water dumped on you and you couldn't even do the interview because the headset didn't work.
Yeah, we ended up getting the replacement headset and locking it back in.
So. Ah, look at that, John.
Yeah.
All right. You're waving your yellow pieces of paper. That means, Garrett, are you ready for your quiz?
Yeah,
we have a quiz that wraps us up. There's eight questions. I put it together. It's about your life, so you have an inside track, obviously.
All right.
Multiple choice, which is good.
Let's do it.
And the baseline is 6 out of 8, right? So, Tom.
Yeah, he's got to get 6 out of 8.
Let's see how well I know myself.
What would a 29-year-old guy want from the Fanatic?
Not a Fanatic doll?
Would you want a bucket hat? I got a bucket hat in my office.
I'll take it all.
All right. We'll give him a little prize pack.
Thanks for the visit. Let's get down to business. Now here's your chance to show how much you really know. He might get grumpy if he can't stump you with Brazier's Quiz.
All right, first question is, you went to Torrey Pines High School, as we mentioned, in San Diego. Which of these celebrities did not go to that high school? So I'm going to mention 3 celebrities that went to Torrey Pines. One did not. Tell me who did not. So your choices are A, Tony Hawk, pro skateboarder. B, Pat Perez, PGA golfer who's great friends with Pat Burrell. C, John Lynch, former NFL safety, current 49ers GM. And D, Jake Owen, country singer playing postgame on Saturday, July 23rd. So is it
Tony? I don't know. I know Tony Hawk did. I know John Lynch did. I don't know if Pat Perez did or Jake Owen. But I'm going to go with Jake Owen did not go to Torrey Pines.
Jake Owen is correct. You got 1 for 1. I used that so I could do a shameless
promote
for the for the post-game concert on Saturday, July 23rd. Will you stick around for that?
Yeah.
Did you stick around for the Avett Brothers?
I did not, but I'm trying to stick around for the Jake Owen concert.
Avett Brothers are great.
We also have the I Love the 90s in August, which is Tone Loc and
Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice, Rob Bass. All right, 1 for 1. You went to USC. Which of these celebs did not go to USC? And I tell you, I do this question for almost everybody we do. USC.
It's got tons of celebrities.
Oh, my God. Like, I could have – I there's a million people I could have chose from. All right, so here you go. Who did not go to USC? Flea, basis for the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Frank Sinatra, Will Ferrell, or Neil Armstrong? First one to walk on the moon. So you got Flea, Frank Sinatra, Will Ferrell, Neil Armstrong.
I know Will Ferrell did. Armstrong, I believe so. Flea, I have no idea. But I'm going to go with Frank. I don't
Frank is correct. Yeah, Frank is correct.
New York guy, Hoboken.
He dropped out of high school, actually. And he never went to college, but he did get an honorary degree from somewhere.
Flea Red Hot Chili Peppers, I assume, did the dropout thing, too. But I guess not.
he could have been. Yeah.
He went there. So he went there.
I don't know if he graduated.
All right. Carrot's on a roll.
All right. One of your first minor league teams was the Quad City River Bandits. It was your second team, I think.
Yep.
Managed by former Phillies director of player development, Josh Bonifay. Did you know that, Tom? And you guys had a stud team. You finished 88-50.
Yeah.
Which of these guys was not a teammate? Okay. So take yourself back to the Quad City River Bandits.
A lot of people rolling through those teams at that time.
I know, I know. I tried guys that contributed, not just had
not a teammate.
Joe Musgrove, Alex Bregman, George Springer, Derek Fisher.
So the answer is George Springer.
Correct.
Joe Musgrove was actually, when I was there in Quad City, had moved to Lancaster, but was on that team at a certain point during that year.
Okay.
So I did not play with Joe while he was in quads because I had come later. That was the year that
I got
drafted.
But he did play on that team.
But he did play on that team that year.
All right. There it is, Springer. Yeah.
All right. Last year, you were one of four Jewish players that played in the World Series. I don't know if you knew that. Did you know that one? Which one of these players is not one of the three other Jewish players? So three are Jewish, one's not. Do you probably know the answer?
I know the answer to all four, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't even have to say Michael Brantley, Alex Bregman, Max Fried, Jock Peterson.
Yeah, Mike is not Jewish.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, he's 4 for 4.
Yeah.
He's on a roll here, Tom. All right, ready?
I always tell Mike, though, you can come to the tribe whenever he likes.
You played well. And you know what? They didn't even play you last night on Jewish Heritage Night.
I did get in the ninth.
You did.
The ninth inning, so I did get in there for a second. Yeah, I told the boys, hey, we're going to need to crush them today so I can get in later in the game. It's Jewish Heritage Night.
Did you see the Fanatic did the horror?
I did not see that.
Yeah, the horror. He had his girlfriend, Phyllis Fanatic, and we had guys come out and lift the Fanatic up.
Very nice.
In the seventh inning, he danced to a Maroon 5 Adam Levine song.
Okay. I was probably downstairs getting ready.
Yeah, you had other things to worry about.
All right, so you really need just two more to qualify. All so right. you played wiffle ball in Wildwood on July 4th with Mickey Moniak and Alec Boehm. Which current Eagles player is often found on both sides of the bar at the Ocean Drive in Sea Isle City, which is just a couple towns away? Is it Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Gardner Minshew, or Jason Kelsey?
Gosh.
This is not fair because he's not in there.
I don't know enough
about
this.
Oh, you know what? You can use a lifeline. He doesn't know these questions. You can use Tom as a lifeline if you want to.
Okay. Well, you know, I feel like if I get it wrong, it's still okay.
Yeah.
So I've been called the Walmart Gardner Minshew at certain
the Walmart
points.
Gardner.
Yeah, which I don't appreciate the Walmart
what's up
part.
With that?
I think my mustache
Minshew's a good player.
I think my mustache is just fine.
Walmart. That's
but Gardner Minshew, I think, seems like a kind of guy that would be found at the bar.
It would. He just hasn't. It's Jason Kelsey.
Okay,
Jason Kelsey's like the Philadelphia fans love the guy. He's
Got
the
it.
One who made the big speech at the Super Bowl that went a little. Right?
Yeah.
A little over the top.
Yeah, I saw it, and it was right on par. I love it.
All right. I think you should be – well, we'll see. We've got three more questions. You grew up a Padres fan, as you mentioned. Who had more stolen bases for the Padres in 1999 out of these? These four.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you, it's two stolen bases, so the bar wasn't very high.
He was only 6 years old at the time, but go ahead.
It was Wally Joyner, Ben Davis, Phil Nevin, or Dave Magadan. With two. One had zero. The other two had one.
Ben Davis is. I'm going to go with Ben Davis.
Ben Davis.
Ben Davis
I knew he'd
correct.
Go the right way. Right there. All right.
Good deduction.
I thought you were going to hit me with like a Ricky Henderson type list. But
No, that's not. This is not the type of trivia question.
That's not the kind of show we've got here.
We don't go real sports. All right. Which former catcher, being a catcher, which former catcher is not from the Philadelphia area? Is not. So three of these guys are from Philadelphia area.
One
is not. Roy Campanella, going way back. Mike Piazza, Johnny Bench, Eric Kratz.
Johnny Bench is not from Philadelphia.
Johnny Bench is correct. Yeah. He's from Oklahoma City.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
I know it because, well, Johnny and I have become good friends since winning the award.
Yeah,
so we actually go to dinner every spring training.
Is that right?
Is that right?
Yeah.
How
and
great's
so,
that?
Yeah. It's one of the relationships that I'm fortunate to have
That's
just
awesome.
Based on my career path. So he's an unbelievable guy, and it's been a resource for me at different times of the year throughout my career to be able to call him and
he was awesome. He was my favorite player,
non-Philly
my favorite non-Philly player.
He was awesome.
Maybe I was, everyone called me Johnny when I was growing up, but there was something about Johnny Bench that was love that guy. Incredible. All right, the last question.
He's already won.
I know
this
already
won. This is gravy.
Bang.
So he's gonna get a prize pack that I'll deliver down to your locker. Where is the Philly Fanatic originally from?
Oh, man.
I'd love to ask the question to people that aren't. Because like in Philadelphia, everyone knows the story. But obviously, you're not. Yeah. You don't know the story. And you shouldn't be.
Grew up with the chicken.
So you have you're right.
Chicken. I love chicken night at Qualcomm. I don't know if they brought it to Petco. But
yeah, he's pretty much retired.
Chicken's retired, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. So I'm going to give you, obviously, it's multiple choice. So where is the Philly Fanatic originally from? Galapagos Islands. Bora Bora, Greenland, or Djibouti, Africa? So is he from Galapagos? Is he from Galapagos Islands, Bora Bora, Greenland, and Djibouti, Africa?
I mean, Greenland seems like the obvious
but
choice.
Maybe I put that in there to make you think that would be it.
Bora Bora seems kind of nice. Okay. I like Bora Bora. Yeah, right. I'd like to go there. Yeah. Seems reasonable. I'm going to go with the Galapagos
Islands.
Yes.
You got it. Because, right. you have obviously the Galapagos Islands.
Well,
with all the species.
Yeah, all the different species. Yeah. Charles Darwin created his theories of evolution, and the
Blue-footed
Fanatic was,
booby.
Weird species of character.
What else? Yeah,
seems like a place you
turtle,
could be.
The turtles, the blue-footed boobies, the land iguanas, the penguins that swim. Yeah, it's awesome.
With
I've been there twice,
don't
Garrett.
Don't lie on the Fanatic. Djibouti was a strong second choice.
I just like saying Djibouti.
All right. Garrett's got a game to go to. Garrett, thanks for doing this with us today.
John,
a lot of fun.
It.
And we're gonna get you taken care of. Restaurant. We got all kinds of stuff for
Love
you.
It.
So.
And we're 81 down. Can't wait for the next 81.
Let's
so
do it.
Best of luck.
Yep.
All right. We'll be back. We're back. Philly's backstage. And John, that was pretty cool having Garrett up here tonight.
What a great guy. I mean, I'm telling you, and you almost feel emotionally invested in the guy because he had that. I mean, just what a dramatic home run. And he doesn't look like a catcher. He's fast, right?
Yeah.
He's not huge. Not that
big.
All catchers are huge. But, you know, he just has that. Just that charisma and the charm, you know what I mean? He's someone that's easy to root for.
I know. But isn't it funny too, John, when we were looking him up, it's like, he was born in 1993. And it's like, wow, 1993. When it was over, when we were talking about Darren Dalton, right. We're talking about Dutch with him. It's like, wow, well, Dutch played here in 93 and he was born in 93.
I started here in 94.
My son was born in 95,
The older you get, Tom, you can't do the math.
Don't
do the math.
There'll be no math.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
it's great. I mean, he's playing well too. It's
playing
like
great.
It'd be great if he's like our backup catcher for.
Well, I love what he said too, that he played outfield, infield. I mean, look at Matt Vierling. Matt Vierling's playing pretty much every position. So if you have utility, and we need someone in a situation where second baseman goes down, we need somebody. Boom.
Yeah.
He can play.
It'd be nice if we could keep him for a number of seasons. And
well, he's young, so.
You mentioned in the minor leagues, he had success in the minor leagues.
Sure.
And then he was blocked. He's blocked right now with JT Realmuto, no doubt about it. But in he was behind two guys in Houston, and he wasn't getting any opportunities. But he hit, in the minors.
Well, he's also defensive catcher, and he can also throw out base runners. So he's got speed on the base pass. I mean, that's a guy we could have him as a backup catcher. Great.
Yeah.
Right.
Agreed.
For years. But Tom, moving away from Garrett Stubbs, have you been writing your Oscar speech? Because there's a movie, which I think Mickey Mordini also is probably writing up his
best supporting
actor speech. But there's, how about the Fanatic movie?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't, it was the Fanatic who acted in that. Maybe I'll get an associate producer Oscar or a writing Oscar. But no, the Fanatic was the big star, John. I can't even talk to him now. I mean, his head is so big. I can't even get near him. He's not even letting people look him in the eye.
Does he have a handler?
You,
now? Does
have you
like
walked past him in the hall at all? Because have you been told you're not supposed to look him in the eye now?
I know you can't get in the elevator with him at the same
correct,
time.
Correct. Well, they clear the elevator out.
He can't fit in there anyway. plus, he'll stink you out. But yes, and I heard there's like green M&Ms, right? Only green M&Ms in his dressing room.
John, the green M&Ms have to be taken out of the bag. He'll eat the other M&Ms, but you have to remove the green M&Ms.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, if you had made that mistake, you would
trouble.
Yeah, you'd be out.
But he's got his agent now. Does he have an agent?
Has an agent? Well, I'm his
PR
agent.
Guy, publicist.
You're looking at him. Yeah,
it's all
yeah.
you.
It's supposed to be me, but I'm sick of him. He's so ego, you know, maniac right now. He's hard to even be around.
Tom, if people want to view the video, where can fans?
Well, people even heard about it. I'm sure if you're probably listening to this podcast, you've probably seen it. But it's on YouTube. It's called "The Philly Fanatic Saves the Fourth," and it's pretty cool how it came about, John. I mean, I remember last year after fireworks night. I think our entertainment team kind of talking casually, just like, we got to just do something a little different, and. Somebody came up with the idea for this light show. So if you're at the game, it was just really awesome what we did, that 3D light show. The Sixers do it. They do it in basketball. They do it in hockey. And it turns out it looks great on a baseball field
sure.
in a dark stadium,
yep.
The way that was lit. And then it was in our one of our video guys was like, hey, we should do a movie. Maybe a movie leads into it. So it was this that's how it kind of started. And we hired a professional movie crew. We shot all around the city. I mean, the Fanatic was on his four-wheeler blowing down
Army's
Broad
in,
Street.
Franklin Institute.
Yeah. I mean, it was just so much fun.
And
to
you
do.
Had Ryan Howard, and you had Jimmy Rollins, you had Bryce Harper.
Yeah, and Schmitty.
Right?
Yeah,
Schmitty.
The Council of MVPs.
Yeah.
Yeah, we tell people when we were pitching the idea, it was like, it's like National Treasure meets 24, and
right.
Jack Bauer, So, I got to tell you, John, so, the whole thing culminates with this chase down Broad Street, and then when the Fanatic entered the ballpark, we did it two nights, Friday and Sunday, the two fireworks nights. The crowd really went nuts when the Fanatic came into the ballpark. And
you shot it live at the ballpark.
Yes.
On fireworks night.
Correct.
Where we had a sellout.
Correct. And so places, goes nuts. And then what we did was we shot that as part of the movie and then added that to the end. So then, the guys were up all night editing it to add it to the end so that on 4th of July, it was posted on YouTube and, it's just awesome. So the hope is we get a chance to do it again next year, maybe do another movie. But we'll see. We'll see.
Well, I got to say, it's been really fun around the ballpark. Obviously, team is winning.
Yeah.
It's not only just winning, but exciting, a lot of power, home runs, everything we thought in the beginning of the season. But now we're right in the pennant race. We're halfway through. But not just that, but just as you said, off the field or away from the baseball, we've got celebrities that are coming to game. We had Miles Teller and Top Gun night.
Yep.
He stayed for an hour after one of the games, signed autographs. And then I know we're airing this on we're recording this on a Wednesday. Tomorrow's game, we have the band Los Lobos and Tedeschi Trucks.
Yeah.
Will be coming to the game. We're starting to get a lot of people that want to come out on a national level to check out these fighting Phils, right? With the power surge of Kyle Schwarber and Rhys Hoskins and JT's getting hot. Cassiano's going to get hot. We know he's going to get hot at some point. So it's and then you get dramatic home runs like Garrett Stubbs and Vierling and some of these other guys, the young guys, Stott. It's a fun team to watch.
Yeah, we're getting there, John. I mean, I think we've all been waiting to kind of recapture those years, when we were selling out and, winning pennants. So I'm feeling it. And to have the celebrities and just people buzzing about the Phillies is great.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. So, all right. Well, is that it? You're pointing to me? That's it? We can't talk about baseball or anything else anymore here?
No.
This is it?
Done. Because I'm going to have to edit your butt for...
Yeah. Well, good luck with that. Yeah, you're going to have to. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. John, you're working on a guest for... we're working on a couple names, right?
Oh, we got a bunch of names
we do.
In the hopper.
We do. So, thanks for tuning in, everybody, and we'll see you next time on Phillies Backstage.